Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm James Shakeshaft.
And I am Alistair Beckett-King.
And Alistair.
Yes.
This is a bit of an odd episode this time, isn't it?
It's very weird because I'm not in it.
Not at all.
It's not at all. Not even now. Even this isn't me.
No, I've replaced you for this episode with two Australians.
Outrageous.
Matt and Dave from the Do Go On podcast and various other podcasts in their Do Go On network. They're coming to the UK to do a tour, and I thought I would give them a little pre-tour briefing on the folklore of the various places they're going to come and visit.
Very thoughtful of you.
Welcome to the podcast, Dave and Matt. Can I say your full names? You're not under any sort of witness protection or anything, right?
Yes, well, we are, but they are aliases, so it's fine.
Oh. Yeah, you can call me my full name, Matt Redacted, if you like.
Yes, so we've got Matt Stewart and Dave Warnicker. I hope I've said that right, Matt.
I like it.
Well, it's not how I usually say it, but it's how we'll say it now as my witness protection alias, so thank you so much.
What is the actual pronunciation?
Look, I say Warnicker.
Warnicke.
But then a German exchange student that I went to uni with told me that it should be Warnicke.
Oh my God.
Oh, right. That's it. That seems a bit much.
Right. And that apparently it means caution corner, like watch out for the corner.
Well, didn't you just stub your toe in a corner this week?
You're right. Actually, I did just break my toe this week by stubbing it on a corner. The prophecy has come true. I ignored that girl all those years ago.
You are basically massive podcasters, right?
Well, depends how basically you want to get it. We're basic podcasters, is how I say.
And stand-ups, and I mean, you got to have a third threat. Is it dance? Ooh. Is it acting? Singing?
Chess.
Chess.
I'm actually terrible. That was the first thing that came to mind. I'm so sorry to everyone that thinks I'm good at chess.
I'm a great sleeper.
Mm.
That's true. You can sleep anywhere.
I can sleep for a long time.
Like really well.
Yeah.
Oh, that is actually something I'm genuinely jealous of.
Is it weird that I can't think of anything I'm good at?
No, me neither. I can eat quick and you can eat slow.
I can eat slow.
We're real yin and yang.
It's actually, we're horrible for us to go out for a meal together, aren't we? Matt sits there for about 2 hours whilst I eat the same thing.
I don't know about you, but I find the time when you finish the meal to the time when you pay for the meal to be the worst time in the world for me. That's their responsibility now.
I think maybe, I know this is a show about folklore, mainly English folklore, right? British folklore.
Yeah.
One of the best bits of Australian folklore involves a Dine and Dasher in the 80s.
Oh, true.
Yeah. I don't know if you ever saw this video of a man who got done trying to run from paying a bill.
No.
You might know him as the succulent Chinese meal man.
He was just trying to enjoy a succulent Chinese meal.
Oh.
And I think, yeah, now this is right. I'd say maybe up there with, you know, the Bunyips, Ned Kelly.
That's right. Shane Warne.
Shane Warne.
Shane Warne and then the succulent Chinese meal man.
Yeah.
It's for people aren't familiar, definitely do yourself a favor. Next time you're on a computer, go to youtube.com or .co.uk. I don't have any preference there.
You'll be redirected, but yeah.
Yeah. Type in succulent Chinese meal and watch probably the greatest Australian that's ever lived.
Yeah. Makes me tear up watching it. And I've watched it a lot.
He was just trying to enjoy a succulent Chinese meal and dine and dash, and then he was arrested and a camera crew captured it all.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
I think our national anthem is awful. And I just the audio of that exchange, you know, with a bit of a beat underneath it. I think I'd salute that.
Have you got lyrics to your national anthem?
Yes, written by a Scottish man.
I don't think Australia wasn't even a federated country when
I don't think he'd ever been.
Oh, really? That's great.
The opening line, "Australians all let us rejoice, for we are one and free, with golden soil
and wealth for toil.
Our home is girt by sea. A famous use of the word girt there.
Wonderful use.
In primary school, all the kids are like, what is that?
What does it mean?
I mean, surrounded by, I think.
Yeah, surrounded by ocean.
Which is such a funny thing to put up right up top in things you're proud of in your patriotic song.
It does feel like you are trailing off early.
They're padding.
Any landmass is ultimately surrounded by sea.
Yeah. Yeah, there wasn't a lot to write home about back then, but that was pre-Dine and Dash.
Yeah, that's right now. Succulent Chinese meal.
Evidently girt by camera crews.
Yes, that's right.
But you guys, you're not staying in Australia forever, are you? You're coming to the UK, right?
We're coming. Yeah, we're coming really soon. We're going to be there in November.
2022.
Yes. 2022, you are correct.
Oh, my God.
Do you do the Gregorian calendar over there as well?
Oh, yeah, big time. Greg's one of the biggest calendar people over here.
Oh, I'm a big Greg guy as well. Dave's more of a Pret-a-Manger guy.
Oh, yes. To be honest, I love them both. I'm famous on our podcast for, we've been to the UK together twice now, Matt, and I've never had a meal in the UK I didn't love.
That's right.
Oh, wonderful.
Your food is the greatest.
I reckon I'm running at about one in three.
Is this purely Greg's?
No, all the Greg's are the winners. I've had...
Yeah, Matt has three meals a day. One's Greg's and that's the good one.
Yeah, I think if I told you where I was eating, you'd be like, yeah, of course your meals have been awful. I think the worst one I had, and there's probably no surprises here, but it was at the airport hotel and it was a room service pizza. And I think it included a full jar of oil in the middle of it.
Oh, that means they liked you.
Let me tell you that I ordered the same pizza in the room next door and I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Your cuisine is something about it. The baked potatoes, the pies, the sandwiches at the pharmacy. Fantastic stuff.
Hey, you know what? We got caramel milk over here now. I don't know if that's genuinely Australian, but the adverts are telling us it's Australian.
I heard of it first when an English person sent me a picture and said, hey, we've got your chocolate. And I don't think I'd heard of it before that.
Yeah. That sounds like a ransom.
Yeah, they sent a letter with chopped out Cadbury's letters.
Wait, you've got my favourite chocolate bar, haven't you? Isn't it called like the Saucy Nana or something like that? What's that one?
One of my dance moves.
I am.
Do you know the one I mean?
I'm trying to think
of... It's a Cadbury's brand.
Cadbury's Saucy Nana.
It's maybe not saucy, like a brittle Nana. No.
I'm trying to think of what you could mean. Saucy Nana. Gosh, that sounds...
Well, I'm trying to picture a box of Cadbury favourites.
I'm Googling it. Oh, it's a Perky Nana.
Perky Nana?
The Cadbury's Perky Nana.
What are you talking about? I think they've lied to you again.
It's probably Nana.
I've never heard of this.
It's a Perky Banana Nougat.
Oh, okay. What? Yep. It's on sale. You're in Australia. The Perky Nana. You're right.
I've never heard of the Perky Nana. I love it. I love nanas. I love nanas.
You love perkiness.
Yeah, I love perkiness.
You type in Perky Nana here and it autofills to Perky Nana Lumps and you think that sounds dangerous.
Well, Dave, you got to realize you are revealing more than you know because autocorrects personalized to your browser.
Oh, and the king size, like the big version, is called the Mighty Perky Nana. Oh, wow. Oh, that is.
This might be, I mean, yeah, Australia's, you know, big-ish in terms of land anyway. I think London's got a similar population of the whole country, but maybe it's, is this a Queenslander thing or?
It feels like a WA thing to me. Maybe Western WA, Australia.
Yeah. WA is like half the country, it's one state.
Yep.
And in sometime mid-1900s, they had a vote to secede from the rest of Australia and that vote won.
Oh.
But the Queen just never ratified the decision.
Oh, that's embarrassing. Yeah,
she just never got around to rubber stamping.
She never got around to it and then it's gone now.
Yeah, that chance is gone.
That opportunity's gone.
I wonder if it's still sitting there dustily on Charles's desk.
Maybe. We all know he's got a lot on his desk.
I've seen the videos. He doesn't like clutter.
He hates clutter.
The man hates clutter.
But he hates to declutter himself.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got people for that.
He's a king.
Imagine if he was served a succulent Chinese meal. He would be too annoyed. Just get this rice away. Get this pesky rice away. But so, guys, I thought I would give you a bit of a whistle-stop folklore tour for your tour that you're doing. Because you're gigging in a bunch of places around the UK, right? Do you want to give me a rundown?
We are starting in, and this is geographically not the way you should tour the UK. Mm-hmm. Tell us where we've gone wrong here. We're going flying into London, straight up first show in Birmingham.
Okay, I think this is going to be linear. I believe the next one will be south of that.
Yeah.
Then we're heading to London, right?
Then we will drive to Glasgow.
Okay.
Drive?
Yes.
I guess I've driven in Australia, and yes, it's big. There's not much in between, but there's too much traffic.
The first time we were in the UK, we were doing a 90-minute drive between venues, and we stopped off at like a roadhouse on the side of the road for a pub meal. Fantastic. I loved it. And we were told the publican on the way out what we're doing, and they said, we're driving to Manchester. And he said, what, now? You're not going to stay here overnight. We've driven 40 minutes, James.
You're going to need a bit of a lie down. Yeah. We have signs that say tiredness can kill.
So we drive from Birmingham up to Glasgow, and then we drive back down to Leeds. So lots of time in the car.
Yeah.
Lots of one-on-one time between the two of us, which is great fun. Then Manchester.
Okay, that's not far. You'll go past the highest bit of motorway in the UK.
Ooh.
Highest above sea level.
That is fantastic.
Yeah.
We'll need a lie down after that.
Bring a hanky. You'll get a nosebleed. There's a bit where the motorway goes round a farm because the farmer wouldn't sell their land.
Oh, I love
or
that.
Or something like that.
Oh, and there's no rule where they can just compulsory acquire it.
Evidently not.
And then we're from Manchester, we're driving over to Bristol.
Oh, yeah. Bristol.
The big bridge. What are the big... Yeah,
oh, the
suspension bridge.
The Clifton suspension bridge.
Clifton suspension bridge, yes.
We're very into that. Love that.
By Isambard Kingdom Brunel.
What a great name.
And cheesy chips. Famous for cheesy chips in Bristol. Am I right in saying that?
I think, as far as I understand, that's quite a southern thing because I'm from near Oxford and we had chips, cheese, beans.
Oh, I like that.
That's your classic.
That sounds great. Do you call that a CCB? Does anyone call it that?
No, just chips, cheese, beans, mate.
I don't think you've saved any time, CCB, chip cheese beans.
That was
beans.
A very polite shutdown. No, we call it the chip cheese beans.
Chip cheese beans.
And we finally finish our tour with a big show in London.
Oh, London's buzzing London district.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Are there any CCBs in London or is that exclusively near Oxford?
No, I think it's a more rural take because I guess you need the fat and the carb to just kind of keep you going. Outside of the urban and built up areas.
Yeah. They've got Brick Lane. Is it Brick Lane, the curry strip?
Yeah, but Manchester, you've got the curry mile in Rusholme.
Oh, that's much bigger than a lane.
Oh, yeah. And they've got neon signs. It's like a sort of curried Vegas. It's wonderful.
Gotcha. See, I love your country. I love your cuisine. Love it. Love it all.
I've looked up Birmingham in my big books of folklore, the folklore myths and legends of Britain, which this is the absolute Bible. It's got such illustrations of that man with a sword.
Wow.
This is like a 1970s book. It's an absolute classic of British folklore. It doesn't have Birmingham in it.
It doesn't have Birmingham in it at all.
Did Birmingham exist in the 70s?
Birmingham, I'd say, is one of the most 70s places that exists.
So I was assuming there'd be a chapter on Aussie biting the head off a bat. At least.
Yeah, that's right.
You think. No, it runs straight from Bilston to Binchcombe. I mean, I don't need to tell you that. You're telling
me that Bilston gets a shout out, but Birmingham is skipped.
I think Bilston's got a picture. Hand drawn. I'm sorry about that.
Why is that? Is Birmingham, is that a relatively new city or something?
It's an industrial age city. So for Britain, yeah, it is kind of new. This is quite newfangled. Is from the 1800s. So we're not too sure. We'll see if it sticks. I mean, the only thing I could tell you about Birmingham, it's worth looking up the Telly Savalas.
I know the name Telly Savalas, but I don't know what it means.
Was he Kojak?
He was Kojak.
Okay, that doesn't help.
The guy with the lollipop.
Okay, it's still not helping.
Okay.
There's a film with 8.2 out of 10 on IMDb.
Ooh. That's huge.
Yeah, it's called Telly Savalas Looks at Birmingham. I don't know if it's an art film. It's just like a close-up of his face as he's shown pictures.
Jeez, he's got a great name, though.
And he's an American man.
I'm showing Matt a picture of Telly Savalas with the lollipop in mouth.
Right.
What a strong look.
That's a great look. Telly Savalas, such a great name. I wonder why he was looking at Birmingham.
For money, I'm guessing.
Okay.
But moving up to Glasgow, I've got some stuff. Although it's in an industrial city, it does date back to the 6th century.
Wow.
Oh, this is something I love about English people. You say 6th, like 6th.
Sixth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
What do you say?
Sixth.
Sixth.
I think I've been sixth. Called out for before saying it wrong. So how do I say it? Sixth.
Yeah, that sounds right. I mean, I like it. Sixth. I love these differences. I also love how we call them bucks parties. You call them stag do's.
Oh, stag do's. Yeah. What do you call a woman's one then?
Hens.
Is that still a hen do?
Yeah, it's still hens.
We call it a woman's one.
So the 6th century, I don't know how I could say that any differently, genuinely. Their patron saint was a little lad called Kentigern.
Oh.
Which was that was a normal name back then.
Kentigern.
Kentigern was his name.
I don't know where the first name ends and the second one starts.
It doesn't. That is his first name.
Okay.
Kentigern.
I don't know what his second name is. So he was cared for by St. Serf. S-E-R-F.
So does it get pretty gibberishy from here, James, normally?
I think that's the most amount of gibberish there is. And the rest is just weird leaps of logic.
We can't call your culture gibberish. That's very rude, Matt.
Oh, sorry.
It's, to be fair, it's accurate. Yeah, so Kentigern was taken under the wing of St. Serf, along with a bunch of other sort of trainee saints. And St. Serf really liked Kentigern, so he gave him a nickname. Mungo.
That sounds like someone who solves crimes, don't you think?
Yeah.
Who are you going to call? Mungo.
Mungo. Get Mungo on the line.
It means dear friend.
Okay.
Mungo does.
And fun fact, it's Hugh Grant's middle name.
No.
Really?
What is Hugo John Mungo Grant?
Wow.
I love that.
Yeah, and that is going to get you through one of your pub quizzes that you'll no doubt be in the UK.
Oh, yes, we've got to experience a pub quiz over there.
I've tried one before and honestly had no idea start to finish what was going on. Like,
Brilliant. You're in.
I could not. None of it made any sense. There was a lot of questions about Hollyoaks.
Oh, nice. Yeah. That's either the TV show Hollyoaks or Hollyoaks, the spirit of the woods.
And I'm not sure. I'm still not sure which it was.
No, neither are we. So, unsurprisingly, all the other sort of kiddie saints were a little bit jealous that he'd got the nickname of Mungo, aka Dear Friend. As it says in this account of the story, when a robin was accidentally killed, Mungo was blamed.
Okay.
I got a feeling the other kids, I think they killed that robin on purpose.
It's difficult to accidentally kill a bird.
Yeah, especially a robin. They're small birds, right?
Yeah.
I feel like you could accidentally roll over in bed and land on an eagle or something. They're big. Yeah, but a robin, what are the odds that you'd fall on it or something?
A friend of mine accidentally killed a bird with his air rifle and he put it under a rock and said the cat did it.
Okay.
The cat shot it.
They've got no thumbs. They can't aim.
This sounds like a very similar story. Sounds like he might be Kentigern. Reincarnated.
But what Mungo did is he took the bird in his hands and prayed over it, and it came back to life.
Whoa.
Absolutely. Wow. Big time. Big time God powers.
Okay, well, if that's a miracle, because once I was in a car with some friends and we accidentally ran over a bird.
And did they blame you because you were the favourite?
They blame me, yeah. But we got out, we're like, because it was, you know, it was on the ground but twitching. So we're like, we've got to finish it off. It's the humane thing. So one of my friends
went, so you backed up the car and had another go.
No, one of my friends went and got a brick from a yard that he saw nearby.
God.
And he stood over it and he lift up the brick. And he's about to bring it down. The bird hops up, walks, and then flies away.
Oh, wow.
That felt a little bit miraculous.
That is either miraculous or it was making a bit of a meal of it, the bird.
Yeah.
It was like trying to get some sympathy, laying it on a bit thick.
Yeah, it was hoping for a chip and then you pulled out a brick.
Yeah, like a cliched soccer player, footballer.
Yeah.
Adding a bit extra mayonnaise on top of the performance there.
Yeah, maybe that's what they should do. It's like magic sponge or brick.
No, I'm good. I'm good.
Yeah, all right, actually. I'll just run this broken leg off.
I kind of always assumed it just flew away somewhere to die in peace, but maybe it kicked on. I don't know.
Tough love.
Yeah, that's true. Stiff upper lip. That's a classic British thing.
It's good to hear your friend didn't chase after it with a brick. No, come back. Come back.
I'm doing the humane thing here.
Yeah, that's right. Come on.
Accidentally caught and bricked to death the bird.
But Mungo's prayed. He's brought it back to life.
He has. That's not his only miracle. A queen lost a ring He evidently sent it back to her via salmon in the mouth of a salmon.
Oh, that is one of the funniest and best things I think I've ever heard. That is fantastic.
That's made the coat of arms of Glasgow, because he's the patron saint of Glasgow, St Mungo.
Wow.
And there's a robin on the coat of arms and two salmons with little rings in their mouths.
No kidding. This is spectacular.
I love that so much, because it's. I was thinking this is a real come down as a miracle. You're like, oh, the queen lost a ring, and I thought you're going to say, oh, and he got her a new one, but he sent it back virus.
Smashed her in with a brick. It was.
But you did say a queen.
It was from those days when there was a lot of royal families knocking around.
Everyone was the queen, mate.
That isn't the end of Mungo's story, and he features in the founding of Glasgow Cathedral. So Mungo went to visit a holy man called Fergus, and upon greeting him, Fergus died.
Wow. Okay.
Now, it doesn't say here whether Mungo had a brick, but Fergus remained dead.
Oh, right. So maybe the life that he gave, he'd given some life that he didn't have right to.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe he had to take it from the next person.
A one-in, one-out policy. The reason Fergus died, there was actually a reason. He'd been told he would die when he had seen someone who would convert the district to Christianity. And so evidently Mungo was that guy. I hope he got a bit of warning, though. He might have been like halfway through, you know, he might have been playing Monopoly with his family or something.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't want to go.
And heard the doorbell. Went up. Oh, it's Mungo. He's going to convert the dead. We're playing Monopoly, Fergus. Mungo, you've ruined another Christmas.
If that was on the cards, you'd assume he had his affairs in order at least.
His Monopoly-based affairs.
That's right. You'd be silly to be starting such a long board game knowing that, you know, your death is going to signal a positive thing.
And so what Mungo did is he popped Fergus's body on a cart pulled by two wild bulls, and he said, wherever it stops, that's where God wants him to be buried.
Okay.
That's not the first time this has come up on our podcast.
Really?
There was another story in Norwich where they popped a body on a cart and were like, wherever this stops, bury him.
Yeah, I love that kind of belief. You like, as if God really wanted him to be buried in that spot, he'd just pick him up and float him over there, surely. Why is he putting his power through these bulls, these wild boars in a cart?
Yeah, what if they just pull up to like the McDonald's drive-thru or something? Like, they just got to start digging.
Yeah, that's what, and yeah, they did. And where they stopped is where Glasgow Cathedral is now.
Oh, that's sick.
I buried him there and that became the cathedral.
I do love those kind of stories. That's fantastic. I'm keen to go to the cathedral. Is it far from town?
I've not looked.
James, come on.
To be honest. Probably.
What kind of tour guide are you being right now?
Probably Uber it.
Okay. James, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to jump in a cart, attach a couple of wild boars, and see what happens.
They'll take you where you need to be.
That's right.
Let God's will be done. I mean, that's your Glasgow hits, really.
That's made me very excited.
That's good. Yeah, and you're going to Manchester as well, right?
Absolutely.
Again, Manchester, it being a sort of modern industrial, 1800s industrial city, there's not that much specifically about the town. But if you get the chance, nearby in Bickerton, in Cheshire, there is a cave on Bickerton Hill, which is known as Mad Allen's Hole.
Okay, we've got to go there.
I'm glad we're recording this because I'm not taking notes. There's so many things I want to see.
Mad Allen's Hole.
But this has gone straight to the top of the list.
And that's in Bickerton, did you say?
I mean, you had me at Bickerton.
This was occupied by a hermit who shunned society after being prevented from marrying the woman he loved. He apparently lost his reason when both sets of parents objected to the marriage.
Oh, wow.
Not just the bride, the would-be bride.
So Mad Allen's own parents said, he is not good enough for your daughter.
We called him Mad Allen for a reason.
Allen, back in your hole.
He moved into the cave and he says he lived there. He lived in the cave for 70 years.
Wow.
So he must have already been at least sort of almost 20. That's a good innings for a caveman.
Yeah, that is.
Back then as well. Yeah, that's great. I'll be happy to make it to that sort of level.
The madness must have sustained him somehow. That's Manchester or near Manchester.
Did you explain the why it's known as the hole?
It's just a cave.
It's just because it's a cave.
It's a cave. It's a hole in a hill.
That probably didn't need any sort of, we didn't need to back over that.
It's good to have an inquiring mind.
I love a positive spin. Thanks so much, James.
And why do they call it Mad Alan's Hole? Is it because Alan lived there, or
was he angry because of the parents, or is he crazy mad? And to be honest, I don't know. He could have been. He was well within his rights to be both.
Yeah. Yes,
James. Before we move on to the next one, can I just ask you quickly?
Yes.
There's the great English tradition of Devonshire tea, scones.
Oh, go on.
Dave and I know this is like a tedious internet thing as well, but I'd love to finally get an English person's opinion on this.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Jam then cream or cream then jam?
For me,
yep.
I go with the Cornish version.
Damn it.
Which is jam then cream.
Okay, music to my ears, James. Absolutely.
I regret asking.
I presume you've talked about this before. You've got your reasoning. I'm presuming, Matt, you are inaccurately saying that the cream is a substitute for butter.
Yeah. I think I'd always heard of it as Devonshire tea. I just thought, you trust the people who came up with it to do it their way. I also think you just get that beautiful colour pop of the red jam off the cream.
Oh, yeah.
And I like how you sort of dollop it on, so you get like every bite is a different taste adventure. You know, you're on a journey there. Every bite, it's very inconsistent.
I appreciate a lot of what you're saying, but it's fundamentally wrong.
thank you. This is great.
It's a Cornish cream tea, to my mind. That's where I heard of it first.
Okay.
And and you use your jam because you want it to grip to the scone.
That's right. It's a spread after all.
Exactly. Thank you very much, David.
I think of it more as a conserve. So,
okay,
I apologize, James.
I couldn't tell you the difference between a conserve and a preserve.
Oh, yeah.
But those are definitely words. That's yes. All I'll be able to know.
I don't know if I saw a preserve is another spread.
Yeah, you got a preserve. Or it's preserve. I said it in a weird way.
Yes, no, now that you say preserve, does ring a bell.
Thinking about it, it's like a lot of the things I'm saying, what I consider as normally, will sound very peculiar to you. For instance, the word data.
Data. Yeah. I think I say data, I guess.
Yeah. Data.
And mining. I think to you, data is like an art movement, right?
Oh, with a D, data. Yeah.
Dadaism.
Dadaism. I see why you say data. I just can't bring myself to do it because it's the consistency and I appreciate that.
Right.
But we're the land of Sean Bean.
Oh, I did the first time we did a live Do Go On podcast in Edinburgh, probably in 2018 or something. I told the story of Sean Bean. If I'm thinking of the right, is he the cannibal family?
No, that's Sawney Bean.
Okay.
Sean Bean's the actor who, I don't, to be honest, I've heard a lot of rumours about him. He was in GoldenEye.
006 Trevelyan.
Oh, okay.
So, London, the big smoke.
What a place.
The capital city of England and the United Kingdom.
It's one of the few, like a lot of capital cities are not the ones you'd think.
Mm.
Like in Australia, it's not Sydney, it's Canberra. Or in...
Yes, that's a pub quiz. That's classic pub quiz territory. Right.
It's not in America, it's not New York, it's Washington, D.C., stuff like that.
Yes. Yeah, Washington Detective Comics.
But is Europe's more of a... I guess because Europe's a lot of older cities or something, they... It is. Does it tend to be more the biggest, most famous city is the capital? Like, is Paris the capital of France?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess so. That's a good point. The newer ones, they seem to think like we're going to make it a capital. We don't want them getting distracted by fun stuff. So we'll just put it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And then we'll put all the cool stuff in different cities.
I think apparently in Australia, Melbourne and Sydney both wanted it and they couldn't decide. So they sort of picked a spot vaguely in between the two.
Oh, really? Even though it's much closer to Sydney.
Yeah, which is fair enough. So I feel like they should have just given it to Sydney. If it's still up for grabs, I reckon I'd just change it to Sydney now.
What if Perth won it though?
Oh, that's true.
They'd take it away and have their own different country.
Yeah.
What would their country be called? Was it going to be a different country or just like a different?
I think it was going to be a different country and I guess that would have been the next vote.
New Australia.
Yeah, that's right.
Better Australia.
Australia 2.0.
Oh.
But then you could rebrand as Classic Australia.
Yes.
Like Zealand did. And that did really well, right?
Yeah.
So, right, I've got my other big book of folklore, The Lore of the Land. I've got it open on the London page. I could tell you a little bit about the Tower of London.
Oh, I'd love to hear about it.
There's bunches of ghosts in there. It's thick with ghosts. You've got the princes in the tower, the two little children that Richard III is supposed to have.
Oh, yes.
Anne Boleyn, she was beheaded there. She was one of the Henry VIII ones. And there's a ghost of a bear.
Oh, that's cool.
An army man thought he saw a bear there once. Someone doing sort of a night watch.
And do they think that the bear was killed within the tower?
I guess there must... They presume there must have been some sort of bear baiting or something.
And what number of Henry's wives was that one?
I think that was Mistress.
Yeah. Mistress Bear.
Unofficial. Baloo. Or did you have Rainbow over there?
No, I don't think so.
No, tell us about Rainbow.
Rainbow's it involved Zippy. It was like a puppet-based thing. So there was a human man. And he was best friends.
I know, Sooty.
It's a similar vibe to Sooty, but much more nightmarish.
Okay.
The things were bigger. Zippy was quite a big puppet. It was very loud mouthy. Oh, not like that kind of thing. Upside for the human, Jeffrey. Downside for Zippy, he was so cool because he had a zip on his mouth. Oh. So if you want to shut him up, you zipped his mouth shut.
Oh, that is nightmarish.
Zip it.
And you literally would. And then there was another one. There was George, who was a pink hippopotamus, who was a bit more caring, and he was a bit more of a sort of calming vibe. Now, those two were like puppets, like quite big puppets, but hand puppets at the end of the day. And then there was Bungle. Bungle was a full-size man in a bear costume. Like... End of The Shining sort of thing.
And you're thinking Bungle may be the ghost.
It may be the ghost of Bungle.
I really feel like this could be a new podcast where people from different countries and cultures describe kids' TV shows from their childhood.
What are we talking about? Humphrey B. Bear?
Humphrey B. Bear. Johnson and Friends?
Is that an Aussie one?
What was the B for in Humphrey B. Bear?
Ooh.
Bear not been bear.
Humphrey Bear Bear, you reckon?
Yeah, that's...
He didn't talk as well. That was a man in a suit or a person in a suit. I guess we don't know if it was a man, but
we'll never know.
Just sort of, but they would only be able to whisper to the human. That's how they communicated, I think.
Yeah.
Oh, like a sooty vibe.
Yes. Oh, I might be confusing memories.
And he didn't wear pants.
Yeah, same as Sooty probably.
None of these bears did. And I think they thought that we never noticed.
Yeah.
But we knew.
We knew.
So I've Googled Humphrey B. Bear. First question, why was Humphrey B. Bear cancelled?
Oh, no.
Guess it's the trousers thing.
Yeah, put on some pants, mate.
What have you done, Humphrey B. Bear? I just want to know what the B stands for. He's a tall, shaggy, honey-loving bear. Terrible news. The B in Humphrey B. Bear does stand for bear.
No.
You're kidding.
Humphrey Bear Bear.
He's Humphrey Bear Bear. What we tend to do on this podcast is we cast judgment on the tales.
Fantastic.
We have a few different categories and you need to score them out of five. I'm going to, as I presented the story, I'm going to present the categories to you. So first up, naming.
Naming. We had some great names. Telly Savalas, for example.
Yes, from America. But yeah.
I can't think of that guy's name, but it was like Kirkscarve or something.
Kentigern, a.k.a. St. Mungo.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to go past that.
Mungo,
basically, for short. It's so funny. I've listened to a bunch of episodes recently, but I listened to them going to sleep, and I don't think I've ever got to this point. Your voice is so beautiful and relaxing.
Oh, you're one of the snore folk.
You've got it. Is there a whole portion of the audience that are...
Yeah, there's the lore folk, and that's subdivided into other break-offs, snore folk and chore folk, who are the ones that do it when they're...
Oh, brilliant.
They can't hear it because they're hoovering. It's mostly people define themselves by how they don't listen to the podcast.
Have you ever had that feedback? I've heard that on Do Go On, if certain people are listening while driving down the highway... They can only hear Dave and Jess. My voice is lost under the engine.
Matt speaks at the same tone that a car puts out.
The anti-noise of a car. Yeah, a little bit. I think mine is in a similar register to an engine.
So if anyone's cruising, you know, maybe driving from Leeds to Manchester or something like that, some normal drive that people would do.
Or pulling over for the night in between.
Yeah, of course. They're going to just be hearing, they're going to be hearing Dave talking to himself right now.
with some long gaps in between.
Just because you're really thinking about what you're about to say. I would advise you as your lawyer to give me 5 for Mad Allen's hole.
Oh, of course. Mad Allen. I forgot about Mad Allen.
I should have been taking notes.
Which here. Mad Allen brought up more questions than answers in the best possible way. I'm going to give a full 5 marks to the names.
Now I understand what's happening. Just names in general we're giving a score to.
Names that we've discussed on this episode.
Supernatural. What do you reckon?
Oh, well, the fact that a fish was able to swim some rings to a queen. Like, is the queen needs to be in the water for this to even be possible.
You think the queen would need to be downstream?
It was a salmon, which, and I guess that's the thing about them. They are the all-terrain.
Oh, they can. You're right.
They go upstream. They go up in the air, straight into a bear's mouth.
There's no bears in England, apart from obviously the ghost bear in the tower.
And in Rainbow. But Supernatural, a bird was brought back to life.
Oh, that's true. Doesn't get much more supernatural than that.
It sounds like that's more common than I thought.
Yeah, that's right.
You can threaten them back to life.
And then what about the same man, Mungo, killed a man and then converted everyone to Christianity?
Despite being a murderer of sorts, he still managed to make everyone a Christian. Good lad.
And also, the warthogs delivered a body to where God wanted them to.
Wild bulls. Oh, yeah.
Is that still supernatural enough for you? Now you know it's bulls, not warthogs.
I didn't know England had wild bulls. Probably don't anymore.
Neither did I. This was 1800 years ago. I don't know. They can say anything. They can say they had like Sky TV. All I know. I'm not doing the research, to be honest.
Take them at their word.
We did also, we had a bunch of ghosts. I'm thinking this is pretty supernatural.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to do a ghost tour when I'm over there, Dave. Would you do it?
I'd love to do that.
James, you want to take us on a ghost tour? Well, you don't have to take us. You want to join us on a ghost tour?
There'll be a ghost tour in Oxford if you want to come over to Oxford.
Is that in between two of the places we're driving?
Given your route, yeah, probably.
Yeah, because we are going all over.
Is this the Oxford famous for the university?
Yes.
Oh, I imagine that's a beautiful town.
It's very, very old.
Yeah, full of supernatural stuff then.
Oh, it's thick with it.
And what do you think about this, Matt? Out of 5. I scored the last one. What do you think out of 5, how supernatural?
I still don't know if I fully understand this game, so I think maybe it's better if you do it. But my instinct is saying 5 again. I'm a very positive person.
I would say you're right.
Okay, fine.
5, absolutely. Yeah. High five for that, yes.
Yeah, yes, yes. And then normally we'd have a sort of bespoke category.
What about maddest character, Mad Allen? What a guy.
Yes.
I don't know. I think Mungo might have been even madder than Allen himself.
I think Fergus might have been fuming as well, if we're going with that.
He's the one who got killed to start Christianity?
Presumably midway through a Monopoly game, as far as we can tell.
Honestly, I'd feel relieved.
Oh, yeah, it's a long game.
It is.
It's too long.
So for the madness of characters, technically, we could have had some slightly, at least angrier ones. So I'd say it was probably a 3.
Yeah. I feel like Mad Allen really got me excited for the anger.
Mm.
Then everyone else is pretty
level-headed, really.
Yeah, pretty nice, yeah.
Pretty chill.
Which I liked. I liked their vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep calm and carry on as you do.
Stiff upper lip.
Be more a George than a Zippy.
Yeah. Beautifully said.
So, well, thank you very much, chaps. Pop a link to all your things in the description. And if you are in any of the areas nearby, and remember, these guys are prepared to drive for up to 90 minutes without a nap.
Yeah, we're wild.
Hey, wait till we tell you about the flight over.
You're not going to stay awake for that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm flying the plane.
I'll be awake.
It's cheaper.
We're still in the air. time has lost all meaning.
I believe we've thrown through a vortex and are now in yesterday, like in the miniseries, The Langoliers. Langoliers. I don't really know how it's said.
This pilot's awesome.
Yeah, I love him too.
So honest.
Well, yeah, best of luck on your trip over and... Yeah, check these guys out, I'd say.
Thank you so much. We'll see you in Oxford for the ghost tour.
Thanks so much for having us, James.
You're welcome. You're very welcome. Thank you very much for coming on. So they're blooming lovely blokes, weren't they?
You know, I was a little bit annoyed at being sidelined for a pair of Aussies, but actually, they're bloody good blokes, as they would say.
They would say that.
Because they're Australian.
Yeah, so if you want to go check them out, go to dogoonpod.com and there's links for their various tour dates in there. And if you don't know if you want to do that and want to hear more episodes of their podcast, that's also where you'll find them.
Same place.
Very yeah. convenient. So the tour is basically, first half is them going to be doing like one of their podcast recordings, and then the second half, straight up hilarious stand-up. What more could you ask for?
It's like one of our live shows, except with jokes.
Speaking of it being like one of our podcasts, I'm going to do the Bristol one.
Representing the Law Boys.
Representing the Law Boys. I'll bring my Alistair Beckett King puppet.
Wait, have I been a puppet all this time?
No, I've got one. I do various corporate appearances and pocket the money myself because I had to shell out for the puppet.
Yeah. Yep, you're in hocks of that puppet for a while. But once you've paid the puppet off, it's all gravy.
Yeah, once I've paid the puppet masters, the John Huntson Creature Laboratory.
Is that a take on Jim Henson? Is that a knockoff Jim
it's
Henson?
It's meant to be a knock. Yeah.
I love the Morpids.
And Friggle Rack. Friggle.
Tahini Street.
But, I mean, none of that's going in.
No.
No.
Just edited it out, so what was the point?